With me today is Hugo Hodge. He is an undergraduate student from the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology. And you spent 2 weeks in ABS-CBN in Manila to learn about Philippine media. Good day, Hugo.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming over. What made you decide to do your internship in Manila?
Well, I was in my third year of journalism, Bachelor of Journalism at RMIT, and we had an option to do an overseas internship, and you know, I had a bit of interest in the Philippines. I'd been following the presidential race for the candidacy. I've just been really interested in sort of Duterte's rise to power, and I sort of spoke to some of the course coordinators, and they had a few contacts in Manila specifically, and so took about. It was a sort of 5-month process, and I would a bit of emailing back and forth, and eventually we sort of arranged this internship at ABS-CBN. There were other students in the course who also did internships at places like Rappler, which was also interesting. But yeah, I ended up at ABS-CBN in the news digital media.
So organizing it took longer than the actual internship itself.
Yeah, as things like that often do, it does take a lot. It's a long process trying to sort it all out. Yeah, I was going to say on day one when I arrived, it took me, because ABS-CBN is such a big company, you know, it took a very long time to get from the human resources department all the way up to the final destination, which was the digital media department, because I had to do like an English and literacy test and all that sort of stuff. So yeah,
even though English was your first language.
Yeah. That was very
and
funny.
So when you finally went into the social media department, you were given tasks. At the time of your internship, it was leading towards the inauguration. Elections were over and everyone was preparing for June 30th. And what was the first task that was given to you?
Well, on arrival, I was speaking to the editor and I was introduced to him. And he was actually very interested in me writing an article about the ABC and SBS in Australia and comparing this to PTV4 in the Philippines. The reason for this was because the communications or the incoming communications secretary, Martin Andanar, had recently said that he was interested in transforming PTV4 into something reminiscent of ABC or BBC in the UK. So that was my first assignment, and kind of lasted my whole 2 weeks there was this sort of big long special report kind of comparing ABC and PTV4.
Yeah. What did you find out?
Basically was looking, I went through the sort of ABC and SBS charter, and you know, the most obvious things about it is that it's, you know, the voice of Australians, it's got editorial independence. From what I'd been told from various journalists in the newsroom and in my own research was, PTV4 was kind of somewhat of a conduit for the government, and I did spend some time watching it as well. And you know, the quality is very poor; wasn't the most enjoyable TV show to watch. So the thing that I found most interesting in that was that Martin Andanar had come from SBS and ABC Radio in the Philippines, and so you know, he obviously had some strong ideas and some good ideas too.
And he did work for PTV4 as well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, but yeah, then I would think it's interesting as well because Duterte, you know, he's notorious for having this bad relationship with the media. He doesn't like addressing the media. And he's,
were you scandalized when you first saw him blurting out his very popular phrases?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting when you see the way he's portrayed in the media at home in Australia and, you know, in the Western world. People only really pull out the bad bits of what he's saying, and that's what's in the press. Whereas, you know, in the Philippines, you see him on TV there. There's a lot more detail talking to people in the newsroom and seeing reactions on social media to his articles and stuff. And you'll see that a lot of Filipinos, and this at the time when he was being inaugurated, you know, he was very popular, wasn't he? Yeah.
And you were witness to history.
Yeah.
Weren't you? How did it feel?
Yeah, it was really interesting, fascinating to sort of be inserted into a newsroom and into the Philippines at this very important time in their history. I almost felt like a bit of an imposter.
What made you feel that?
I don't know. I guess because I sort of everything I knew about the inauguration and, you know, Filipino history was something that I'd learned quite recently, and so it became important for me at that time. And then going to the Philippines and seeing all these people who are so passionate about the presidential race and the election and stuff, and you know, getting involved with that.
And you writing about it was somewhat surreal, if I may say so?
I guess so. I mean, I had heard of him and I did do a lot of research on him before I got there. But yeah, I did find myself, you know, making videos about Duterte's top 10 election promises or the historic firsts of Duterte's inauguration. So these were kind of videos using moving images, photos, music, text and all that sort of thing. And yeah, it was interesting, you know, making these videos and then seeing the reactions on social media. I've done internships in Australia at a couple of different places, and you know, when the article or the video gets posted online, it might get, you know, 1,000 likes at the most. But you were posting these videos on the ABS-CBN news Facebook page, and they would get, you know, 500,000 views. 8,000
likes.
Well,
it is the social media capital of the world, they say.
Is that what they say?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you'd see, I'd read through the comments and there would be so many different reactions to the video, like such as God bless Duterte, change is coming, all these sorts of things. So,
and you would also see the critics as well. How did you feel when you read people, you know, blurting out? There were a lot of hatred.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hatred and still is online.
Yeah.
When you see that and when you see the contrast of people admiring him, how did that make you feel, or what did you think about it?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I followed Carlos Seldrin on Facebook quite a bit, and he's quite an anti-Duterte guy, and, you know, he's got quite a big social media following as well. So, you know, it was always interesting to read something that ABS-CBN would post where it seemed like there were a lot of sort of Duterte supporters. I guess it is mainstream, so you're going to get a bit of everyone in there, but then reading stuff that Carlos Seldrin would post and the sort of reactions on that. Yeah, it's interesting. I think very, very quickly it seemed that the sort of sentiment in the Philippines was changing soon after Duterte came in.
Do you think media in the Philippines is fair? Because there's a lot of talk about it being biased towards the government or biased towards this political figure. What do you think?
Someone
who's come in from the outside.
It was interesting. I mean, ABS-CBN, they're obviously the biggest commercial network in the Philippines, you know, similar to maybe something like Channel 9 in Australia. I'm not sure that I got across the organisation enough to know whether or not they have any kind of bias in their reporting, but I did think it was refreshing to see somewhere like Rappler might be considered on the left of the media, but still yet very sort of analytical in their reporting and quite comprehensive coverage of the issues. They'll sort of give you the background context and all that sort of thing. And obviously PTV4 is a sort of state broadcaster, mouthpiece of the government. I mean, I know they're trying to sort of modernise it and bring it up to speed with sort of state broadcasters around the world. But yeah, at this moment in time, it was... Yeah.
Is it similar or quite different from the media here in Australia in general?
I thought at ABS-CBN, the structure of the newsroom and the types of issues they reported on was quite similar to what I've experienced in other places in Australia. A world news story, you know, is breaking news. Every media organisation picks it up and does their own sort of version of it. Local news, it's going to differ from every country, but, you know, it's always important. Social media and that sort of digital first approach to media is the same at ABS-CBN as a lot of different news places in Australia.
You were assigned to the online news gathering.
Yeah.
And you being an undergraduate, by the time you finish your course, you would be one of those journalists who will be using social media sites as the way to deliver the news. Do you think there's still space for traditional news gathering and traditional news platforms that it was from before? Or do you think we are slowly going towards the social media world realm where everything you read or hear from the news would be based on 100-word count, like Twitter, or one catchy phrase in your Facebook site?
Mm. And do you mean specifically in the Philippines or just
in general?
There's definitely, you know, been that transition to digital, and you see all the old mastheads or the old newspapers and broadcasters trying to catch up and become this digital-first model. But then it's interesting when you look at somewhere like the Saturday paper, where they have recently, you know, it's a new paper, but it's giving you a different kind of newspaper experience. It's not the he said, she said journalism. It's a political analysis, long form, where you sit down and you really immerse yourself in it. So I still think there is definitely room for newspaper and for long form journalism. Like, it shouldn't just be 100 character count Twitter post or like you get on social media. Yeah,
you grew up in the digital age.
Mm.
I grew up where we had to go to the library, and or we had to own an encyclopedia to actually know about history. But you grew up wherein you'd open your laptop or your desktop and type in something and you'll have it in 5 minutes.
Straight away, yeah.
Do you think things have gotten easier for you? Did it make you less? Some people might say that students nowadays have become a bit lazy and complacent because everything is so easy. Mm-hmm. They don't search for deeper truths, you know, and they don't look back as far as history would allow them. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, I think these days it is a lot easier to source a bit of information. You don't have to, you can sort of go on the internet and find, type in a quote and, you know, it'll throw up the book that that quote's in. So you don't have to go and sit and read the whole book. So yeah, in that way, that's definitely true. And I mean, that sort of ease of access comes into journalism as well, where I got, when I was at ABS-CBN, I got asked to write an article about how the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and the Mexican president had been photographed together running in short shorts on a bridge somewhere in Canada. And
Googled it.
Yeah, well, the editor came up to me and she said, you know, these two trend really well in the Philippines. After they came to Manila for the APEC summit, they were dubbed the hashtag APEC hotties.
Yes.
And so I was told to write an article about this photograph, and I basically just sourced all the information from local Canadian media, American media, and it was all just this big article combination of all sourced from different places. And it's easy to write an article like that, and you're seeing that a lot these days in newsrooms, where sort of content is just regurgitated through each different media outlet,
where the human touch and the human interaction has disappeared.
Exactly.
You think a time will come where it will totally disappear, where we can all write news articles from our desktop? When I was starting in this industry, desktop journalism was frowned upon. But I think nowadays it has become more and more popular, hasn't it?
Mm, absolutely. I think what's also becoming a lot more popular these days is, you know, different ways of telling stories as opposed to just writing. So, you know, podcasts and audio, video is more engaging. You see all the of course, social media is one of the main ways to get to an audience. So you see all the news agencies, news organizations, sorry, out there making these sort of social media videos, which is audio, video, text, and a bit of music. And as you're scrolling down a newsfeed, it starts playing automatically. And, you know, those are quite engaging. And when I arrived at ABS-CBN into the digital newsroom, and I got asked by the editor, like, what are you good at? And I was like, oh, I know how to make these sort of, I know how to edit video and audio and that sort of thing. And she was like, oh, wow, you can make AJ Plus style videos. I was like, yeah. She was like, great. Like, we know what we're going to do with you the whole time. So that's what I spent most of my days doing, was just making these
videos. What did you learn most about your 2 week stay?
Well, I became really good at editing video. you know, I learned a lot about Filipino politics and culture. I got taken out. I was making a video on the different old churches in Manila. So I got taken out by a few journalists. They took me around to all these beautiful old churches. That was fascinating. I learned a lot about that. One of the things I found really interesting was how young all the other journalists in the newsroom were. You go to high school in the Philippines and you go to university and you're finished by the time you're about
18.
Yeah. So I was going out to, you know, Lenny Robredo's inauguration after party with a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old. I'm 21 myself, but I was just surprised that I was, you know, being taken out by someone younger than myself.
Would you go back and say, when you finish your degree, and say, try and work there for?
Yeah, I would be interested in going back to the Philippines and, you know, maybe trying to do another internship, or at least trying to get a job. Yeah, even.
What did it?
Why aim low?
What is it about the Philippines that you miss the most coming back?
I miss the weather. The weather was
humidity.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it, especially when you're by the beach. Can't go wrong. I quite miss the, you know, the people. Everyone, it, you know, it's so easy to communicate with people in the Philippines because everyone speaks English. So I really miss that. Everyone loves a laugh, and everyone was very jokey, very kind. In the newsroom, it was constant.
Thanks for your time, Hugo Hodgson.
Thank you so much.
Hope to hear from you soon, reporting from SBS, maybe.
I hope so. Thank you.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.